Good afternoon. Can we open our Bibles at 1 Samuel chapter 30? 1 Samuel chapter 30. And I've called this chapter David Recovers All. David Recovers All. And in chapters 27 and 29, we've found David amongst the Philistines. And David going to the Philistines, losing his dependence upon the Lord. And when he lost his dependence on the Lord, he found himself very uncomfortable amongst the Philistines. We found David living a lie amongst the Philistines. And we find that he found himself in the dreadful spot of going to war against his own people. And God, in his great mercy, delivers David. But for all that, David has been delivered by God, there is still the important fact that there is no mention in chapter 29 of gratitude from David, expression of thankfulness from David, a calling on the Lord from David, a dependence upon the Lord from David. And we also know that he will soon be king, and so God needs to do a work and restore his servant. And in chapter 30, we find David's faith restored. We find all that was David's restored. And we also find David restored to his call. Well, David's faith is restored, and sometimes God needs to use severe methods to bring and restore his children to dependence upon him. And that's just what we find as we open 1 Samuel chapter 30. And it came to pass when David and his men were come to Ziklag on the third day, the Amalekites had invaded the south and Ziklag, and smitten Ziklag, and burned it with fire, and had taken the women captives that were therein. They slew not any, either great or small, but carried them away and went on their way. So David and his men came to the city, and behold, it was burned with fire, and their wives and their sons and their daughters were taken captives. Then David and the people that were with him lifted up their voice and wept until they had no more power to weep. And David's two wives were taken captives, Ahinoam the Jezreelitess and Abigail, the wife of Nabal the Carmelite. And David was greatly distressed, for the people spake of stoning him, because the soul of all the people was grieved, every man for his sons and for his daughters. For David, it must have seemed like everything was closing in upon him. He had been pursued by the Philistines, rejected by the Philistines. He had been rejected by Saul. He comes back to his camp, and what does he find? He finds that the Amalekites have taken everything, the city is burned with fire, and now to cap it all off, his own men, with whom he had served for so long, are wanting and speaking of killing him. And part of that, perhaps, is David's fault. Perhaps he should have protected the city of Ziklag. He had been raiding amongst the Amalekites. But it was at this point when David was really brought under great and severe pressure that we find this man of faith turning back to God. And at the end of verse 6, we find another one of those great but statements in the Bible. And we read at the end of verse 6, "But David encouraged himself in the Lord his God." David didn't dig deep and find his strength in himself. David didn't rush off for counsel. David was driven back to God. And what does it mean here when we read that David found his strength in God? Well, it's not the first time we find this expression in 1 Samuel. We find, if we go back to chapter 23 and verse 17, and verse 16, sorry, "And Jonathan, Saul's son, arose and went to David in the wood and strengthened his hand in God." And note verse 17, "And he said unto him, Fear not, for the hand of Saul my father shall not find thee, and thou shalt be king over Israel, and I shall be next unto thee, and that also Saul my father knoweth." What did Jonathan do there for David? Jonathan drove David back to what God had promised regarding him. Jonathan drove David back to finding, "You will be the king, and even my father Saul acknowledges it." And so he, at this point, driven back to God, recognizing that his men will not take his life, for God has promised that he will be the king. God will fulfill his word and his purposes regarding David. How vital that we come back to the word of God and come back to his wonderful promises and his words. Things in this world can at times shake our faith. We can wonder and be overwhelmed at the enormity of our witness and of our evangelism. And we can feel our weakness, and we go back to the word of God and are reminded, "But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you." We have the gift of the Holy Spirit. He helps us. He is giving us power in our witness. We're not alone. And sometimes we might even be put in a position when we despair of our finances, and we come back to Hebrews 13 and verse 5. "I will never leave you, nor will I forsake you." And we can feel ourselves sometimes alone in our assembly testimony, a bit cut off. And then we come to Matthew 28 and verse 20, and it says, "And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the age." The Lord is with us. And maybe a mother finding herself as she raises her children a bit cut off, wondering, you know, maybe I should be out there. People seem to be doing lots of exciting things. And we read, even though it's a little bit different in context, 3 John in verse 4, John writing, "I have no greater joy than to hear that my children are walking in the truth." No greater joy. And there are all these things that we need to find our strength in God. I remember reading of Spurgeon as he walked up the steps to preach the gospel. And he would say, "I believe in the Holy Spirit." What was he doing there? He was finding his strength in God. realizing and recognizing it's not of me, but it is God. And it is that point in David's extremity that he is here driven back to find his strength in the Lord. And immediately that now he is no longer depending on Achish of the Philistines, no longer depending upon himself, but in a position of dependence upon the Lord, we find the old David that we love so well. Because we read in verse 7, "And David said to Abiathar the priest, Ahimelech's son, I pray thee, bring me hither the ephod. And Abiathar brought thither the ephod to David. And David inquired at the Lord, saying, Shall I pursue after this troop? Shall I overtake them? And he answered them, Pursue, for thou shalt surely overtake them, and without fail recover all." David brings the priest, the ephod, seeks the guidance of the Lord through the Urim, the Thummim. We haven't seen that with David since chapter 23. But his focus is the Lord now. He's dependent on the Lord, and so he's seeking the guidance of the Lord. And what does the Lord say to him? See how swift the Lord is to bless David. He's come back. Maybe the Lord will hold out a little bit for David. Maybe the Lord will put him through a little bit more affliction. Not at all. He's come back to the Lord. He's dependent on the Lord. He's found his strength in the Lord. And the Lord promises him what? You will recover all. David has recovered his faith, and now God promises him that he will recover all that he has lost. And so we find straight away that as David seeks out, he actually comes under a great test. Because straight away in verse 9, "So David went, he and the 600 men that were with him, and came to the brook Besor, where those that were left behind stayed. But David pursued, he and 400 men, for 200 abode behind, which were so faint that they could not go over the brook Besor." Now, David, after he had left the Philistines with his men, had undergone a journey of between about 90 and 100 kilometers by foot. They'd returned to the city of Ziklag. They'd found the devastation. What did they do? They wept, it says, till they had no strength left. Then when they received the word, they started out. And from Ziklag to the brook Besor, it's about half a marathon, somewhere around 20 kilometers, maybe a bit more. And a third of his men are just too tired to go any further. They've got a battle to fight. And you'll lose a third of your men. They are just too weak to carry on. But David, of all people, knows when David fought Goliath, the battle is the Lord's. God has promised, David, you will recover all. And no matter how many he had in his army, the Lord would be with him and he would fulfill his word. Well, God is also working in a wonderfully providential way to help David. And they find there in verse 11, they found an Egyptian in the field and brought him to David and gave him bread, and he did eat. And they made him drink water. And they gave him a piece of a cake of figs and two clusters of raisins. And when he had eaten, his spirit came again to him, for he had eaten no bread nor drunk any water 3 days and three nights. And David said unto him, "To whom belongest thou, and whence art thou?" And he said, "I am a young man of Egypt, servant to an Amalekite, and my master left me because 3 days agone I fell sick." And what we remember, see here, 3 days before, even before David returns and finds his strength in the Lord, we find God providing the Egyptian who will direct him to the enemy. But God is also helping David, because when they come down in verse 16, the Egyptian directs him, and we read verse 16, "And when he had brought him down, behold, they were spread abroad upon all the earth, eating and drinking and dancing because of all the great spoil that they had taken out of the land of the Philistines and out of the land of Judah." Well, when they're spread out, drunken, they're not in a good position for fighting a battle. And so David immediately has an advantage. The Lord is helping David. Verse 17, "And David smote them from the twilight even unto the even of the next day, and there escaped not a man of them, save 400 young men, which rode upon camels and fled." It was a long battle. David had 400 men, and there was only 400 escaped. The indication is what? That this was a serious size of army that David was fighting against. But David was fighting with the help and the strength of the Lord, and the Lord is helping him. Well, and so we read that because of it, remember what God promised as David consulted him. David sought the mind of the Lord. And what do we read here in verse 18? And David what? Recovered all, just as the God had promised. When God promises, God fulfills. And so David recovered all that the Amalekites had carried away, and David rescued his two wives. And there was nothing lacking to them, neither small nor great, neither sons nor daughters, neither spoil nor anything that they had taken to them. And see what the Holy Spirit emphasizes here again for a third time in this chapter. What? David recovered all. David, who had not been dependent upon the Lord, David, who had been living a lie for 16 months with the Philistines, and he returns to the Lord, and the Lord is quick to bless. Well, not only does David in this chapter recover his faith, David also recovers his possessions. But we also find that David recovers his call. What had David been called to do? David was called to be king. But when he was with the Philistines, he wasn't looking like a king. Every 4 years, there is an election to elect a president in America. And it seems that all the media of the world at the time that the president is elected focus on who will be there, and the world's eyes are directed to it. And in the course of all the hype that comes through the media, one of the things that the media are so looking for to speak to the people is, and this is what they say, well, he looked presidential there. Whatever it is, they're looking for something in the candidate that looks presidential. But David amongst the Philistines wasn't looking like the king of Israel. But what does the king of Israel look like? Keep your place in 1 Samuel chapter 30 and turn over to the 78th Psalm. And in the 78th Psalm, go to the end of the 78th Psalm. And we read there of the king, of God's king. Psalm 78 and verse 70. Psalm 78 and verse 70, he chose David also his servant and took him from the sheepfolds. From following the ewes, great with young, he brought him to feed Jacob his people and Israel his inheritance. So he fed them according to the integrity of his heart and guided them by the skillfulness of his hands. The king of Israel was not to be a Middle Eastern despot who took all and built up his own name and his own wealth, but he was to be a shepherd of the people. David hadn't looked like that, but in the goodness of God, David not only here recovers his faith, David not only recovers all that was his, but he recovers his call. Because we look and we see someone who will be fit to be king. When we look down in our Bibles, David is returning in verse 21 of 1 Samuel chapter 30. And we read this, and David came to the 200 men which were so faint that they could not follow David, whom they had made also to abide at the brook Besor. And they went forth to meet David and to meet the people that were with him. And when David came near to the people, he saluted them. Here's these 200 men. And it's important to point out that not all God's servants have the same amount of strength. We shouldn't look at one servant of the Lord and say, well, he does this particular thing, but this one, he's not quite so able. Nor should we compare ourselves with others. I have a friend who was a long-haul truck driver, and some of the stories he told me terrified me, because his workmates would speak of how they would do these incredible hours, and they would boast amongst themselves of all the pushing to the limits that they would do in their long-haul truck driving. What's the heart of the issue there? Pride. Well, we must be very careful that pride doesn't come into the work of the Lord. Well, these 200 servants, they didn't have the strength to go. They're at the brook Besor. And verse 22, then answered all the wicked men and men of Belial of those that went with David and said, because they went not with us, we will not give them aught of the spoil that we have recovered, save to every man his wife and his children, that they may lead them away and depart. Then said David, ye shall not do so, my brethren, with that which the Lord hath given us, who hath preserved us and delivered the company that came against us into our hand. For who will hearken unto you in this matter? But as his part is that goeth down to the battle, so shall his part be that tarrieth by the stuff. They shall part alike. And it was so from that day forward that he made it a statute and an ordinance for Israel unto this day. What is the difference there between David and David's men? Where is the source of strength for David's men who said that? What does it say there in our Bibles in verse 22? The spoil that we have recovered. For them it was what they did. And to deprive those 200 men was not only covetous, but it was also cruel. Those were the spoils that were necessary to provide the basics for their family when all had been lost. So there was pride, there was covetousness, and there was also cruelty. But what does David recognize? David recognizes something else. Who did David attribute the victory to? The David that went down and left 200 men, the David who was dependent upon the Lord, the David whose strength was in the Lord. It was the Lord who won the victory. And so those who tarried by the stuff received just as those who went down to the battle. And we can be sure of this, that David's greater son, the Lord Jesus Christ, will reward those who tarried by the stuff as though much as those who went down into the heat of the battle. The preacher's wives left behind at home, looking after the children. Oh, the preacher might see the souls come to Christ, but they're behind serving the Lord, sharing in the spoils. The children, those who serve so faithfully in driving different ones, those who serve so faithfully in providing the abundance of food, those who do the administration, those who write the letters, those who clean halls like this one, those who maintain halls like this one. And from that day forward, it was a statute in Israel. David is functioning just like a king. But not only that, we find that it wasn't just a sharing for those who tarried by the stuff, but in verse 26, and when David came to Ziklag, he sent the spoil unto the elders of Judah, even to his friends, behold, a present for you of the spoil of the enemies of the Lord. Ah, that's the David who's looking like a king, who's sounding like a king. That's not the David who we heard a little bit earlier. Chapter 29. David, while he was turning away, who expressed a service to Achish. 29 and verse 8. And David said unto Achish, but what have I done? And what hast thou found in thy servant so long as I have been with thee unto this day, that I may not go to fight against the enemies of my Lord the King. That was Israel, the Lord's people. Now David, laying hold of God by faith, these are the enemies, Lord. This sounds like a king. And then we go down, and after a list of all the various places, and to them which in Hebron, verse 31, and to all the places where David and his men were wont to haunt. You see, the heart of David was to provide not only for those who remained behind and tarried by the stuff, but to all who were involved in helping David. Here we find the heart of a king. Here we find David restored. David restored in his faith. David restored in his possessions. And David restored in his call. Well, what can we take away from this? Firstly, this. Do you note the speed with which God restores to David? No sooner has David come back to God in faith than God is quick to restore to him. Isn't it lovely when we read in Luke 15 of the prodigal who had gone off, squandered all, and when he comes back, his father sees him a great way off, and that old man runs to his son. Kill the fattened calf. He finds acceptance, he finds welcome, he finds restoration. David was restored to the Lord straight away. I wonder, is there someone here and you need to be restored to the Lord, to come back to the Lord, to find your strength in the Lord, to be dependent upon him. Be assured of a rich welcome. David here is restored all that he had. Can the Lord still use me? The Lord used David. Joel 2 and verse 25. I will restore to you the years the locust hath eaten. Our God is a God who is quick to restore the one who will come back to him in repentance and faith. But let me ask finally this, how quick am I to welcome back? Are you to welcome back the one who comes back to the Lord? It's very interesting in the New Testament. I'll just finish with a couple of verses from the New Testament. And the first is Acts chapter 9. Acts chapter 9, verse 25. Then the disciples took him by night and led him down by the wall in a basket. And Saul was come to Jerusalem. He essayed to join himself to the disciples, but they were all afraid of him and believed not that he was a disciple. But big-hearted Barnabas, welcoming Barnabas, accepting Barnabas, took him and brought him to the apostles and declared unto him them how he had seen the Lord in the way, and that he had spoken to him, and how he had preached boldly at Damascus in the name of Jesus. Thank God for the Barnabases. The big-hearted Barnabas, who would welcome one, great sinner though he was, Saul. And then 2 Corinthians chapter 2, 2 Corinthians chapter 2, and then in 2 Corinthians chapter 2, there is one there who had sinned very grievously. And in verse 5 we read, "But if any have caused grief, he hath not grieved me, but in part, that I may not overcharge you all. Sufficient to such a man is this punishment, which was inflicted of many. So that contrarywise you ought rather to forgive him and comfort him, lest perhaps such a one be swallowed up with overmuch sorrow. Wherefore I beseech you that ye would confirm your love toward him, for to this end also did I write, that I might know the proof of you, whether ye be obedient in all things. To whom ye forgive anything, I forgive also. For if I forgave anything, to whom I forgave it, for your sakes forgave it I in the person of Christ. Lest what? Satan should get an advantage of us, for we are not ignorant of his devices." Welcoming back the repentant sinner. Let's pray. Our Father, we have seen your wonderful grace in the life of David. You brought him wonderfully, as you care for each one of your children, back to yourself, and then you bestowed upon him. You restored all to him. Thank you, Father, for your grace in our lives, in coming to you, the forgiveness that we have in the Lord Jesus Christ. And I pray, O Father, that we would have in our hearts be filled with the love of Christ in its height and depth, its width and breadth. Give us, O Lord, an eye to recognize those who have come back to you, and to give them that warm welcome which you have given us. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.